I need you to wake up. I think there's something wrong with me. There was no flicker of reaction from him again. Everything continued on as it had before, and I sighed. What was I expecting? He wasn't going to just wake up because I willed him to. If life worked like that, miracles would be a hell of a lot more commonplace. And I wasn't lucky enough to get a miracle now. Turning from Graham, I made my way to the door. There was nothing I could do now but try and kill the thing that had caused all of this, and that was exactly what I would do. Moving out into the main hall, I stared at the nurse. She was still standing where I'd left her, her chest rising and falling with each breath she took, but her gaze was blank and unseeing. Pausing next to her, I pressed my hand to her shoulder and whispered in her ear, "Forget." She started as though I'd slapped her, recoiling away from my touch, a confused look filling her eyes.
"What are you?" she said.
"I was just leaving. I'm sorry I bothered you," I answered and stalked away, the feel of her confused gaze boring holes in the back of my head as I disappeared out through the doors.
Chapter 28. The sound of my cell phone ringing as soon as I stepped out through the front door of the hospital made me jump. Slipping it from my pocket, I glanced down at the screen, and my heart skittered in my chest. "Hello," I said, answering it quickly and pressing it to my ear.
"Miss Morgan, this is Callum Sidney from the medical examiner's office. You wanted me to call if I found anything out about the bodies that came in this morning."
"What have you found out?" I asked, catching sight of Nick across the parking lot.
"Well, nothing has come back on the black stone substance found beneath the victims, but something interesting did come up in the thread samples we sent for testing."
I waited for him to continue, but there was silence on the other end of the line. "Callum, what did you find?"
"Right, well, the thread is a mixture. The main component seems to be wool, and the rest of it is hair."
"Hair?" I repeated, my stomach flipping excitedly. Hair was something we could work with. I didn't know much about forensics, but in every cop show I'd ever watched on the television, they could always track down the identity of their perp if they had hair to work with.
"Yes, human hair, to be exact," he said.
"And have you tracked it? Run it through the system? Is there a hit?" My words ran into each other, desperate to get out fast enough. The faster I spoke, the faster I would have my answers.
"No, the hair has been extensively treated with as-yet-unknown chemicals. I've got to wait for the toxicology report to come back on that. Plus, whoever the hair belongs to took forensic countermeasures."
"What do you mean, forensic countermeasures?"
"There's no root or follicle on the hair. No way of testing it for DNA.
My heart sank. No way of testing meant no way of figuring out who the hell the sicko was. Unless, of course. "Thanks, Callum." I hung up the phone and practically skipped across the parking lot to Nick.
"You look happy. Is he awake?"
Nick asked, staring at me curiously. "No, he's still out of it."
"So you're grinning like a maniac. Why?"
"Because I know how to find the guy who caused all of this, but I need to make a quick stop at the office first."
"Are you gonna let me in on the secret?"
Nick asked, readjusting his gun holster beneath his leather jacket. "You'll see," I said, unable to tear my gaze away from the tightening of his t-shirt across his muscled chest. The movement left very little to the imagination, and it took all of my willpower to keep my hands to myself. "Get a grip, Amber, you do not have time for this," the voice in the back of my head piped up. And it was right. I really didn't have time to stand around drooling over Nick. Lifting my gaze, I wanted to kick myself as I caught his smug smile. No, I definitely didn't have time to feed his ego. An image of Dex flashed through my head, the way the creature had pinned him, spilling the gray smoke down his throat. Guilt gnawed at my guts, and it must have shown in my face because Nick's smile disappeared, replaced with a far more serious expression. "I'm going to end this once and for all," I said, climbing onto the bike behind Nick and wrapping my arms around him. I just had to hope and pray that I wasn't too late. Leaving Nick at the curb, I hurried towards the front door of the Elite office. Bud pushed out through the door, his broad shoulders taking up the entire space, making it impossible for me to slip past him as he paused.
"How's Graham doing?"
he asked, his deep baritone rumbling in my bones. I knew from seeing him around the office that Graham had worked with him on a couple of cases before we'd caught the Sidwell case. "Still out of it,"
I said, eyeing the door impatiently. The faster I could get in there, the better it would be. The last thing I needed was to get held up, especially when what I had planned was so dangerous. If I was caught stealing evidence, it would lead to questions I couldn't answer.
That's too bad. He was a great guy,
Bud said, his expression one of pity. One of the best. I smiled politely and edged forward.
Sorry, I guess I'm holding you up and you want to get on and catch the guy that did this to him.
I nodded and sidestepped him as he moved away from the door.
Listen, I know you didn't want for any of this to happen. I know it's not your fault, no matter what Sonya has to say.
What does Sonya have to say? I tried to keep my voice as steady as possible, but it was hard. She'd promised to make me pay, that I would be sorry, and I could understand her pain. But blaming me for something that wasn't my fault was something I wouldn't stand for. I didn't deserve that. My flaws were many, but I hadn't wanted Steve to get hurt, and I definitely didn't want him to get killed.
She's angry and looking to blame someone. Anyone, really. It's not her fault, but I just want you to know that no one is taking her seriously. We've got your back, Amber.
His declaration was so sincere that the back of my throat closed with tears. I'd always been an outsider in the elite, and John certainly hadn't made me feel welcome. Graham had been the first to take a chance on me. And now to hear something like that out of Bud, well, it meant something to me. Thanks, Bud, I trailed off, my voice growing a little choked. I couldn't ruin it all now by breaking down. That was the last thing I needed to do. The elite was all about being the toughest, the most unbreakable. If I cracked now and cried, it would only set me back to square one. Bud nodded, his expression shifting, and there was a tension in his shoulders that hadn't been there moments before. Coughing, I cleared my throat. It means a lot to know I've got your support, I said, finding my voice once more and crushing the tears down inside. Relief washed over his face, and he clapped his hand across my shoulders, hard enough to send me stumbling forward toward the front door.
You're one of the good ones, Amber,
he said. Thanks, Bud. He strode away down the path without waiting for me to answer. He was clearly relieved that I hadn't burst into tears on top of him. I bit back the smile that hovered on my lips. I could only imagine what his face might have looked like if I had. He'd have never recovered after the mortification, and he definitely wouldn't ever have spoken to me again. Hurrying into the building, I kept my head down as I made a beeline for the evidence room and crossed my fingers in the process. Something had to go right. We were overdue for a win. Scooping my keys for the evidence room out of my pocket, I shoved them into the lock and pushed the door open. The room was dark, the musty smell of boxes and papers tickling the back of my throat and nose as I stepped inside. Flipping on the light, I cringed against the harshness of the strip lighting as it hummed and buzzed before finally deciding to click on. It lit up the stark white walls, which were lined with shelving units. Having an evidence room was just the elite's way of trying to be as close to the police as possible. It was a way of normalizing what we did, even if that was impossible. The mundane evidence didn't need anything special. It could be kept in boxes along with the case files. But the other types of evidence, the stuff deemed preternatural that had a power all of its own, well, that went out of the city to one of the elite storage facilities. I'd never been to one, and I never wanted to go. The thought of being around that much raw power filled me with panic. I had enough problems to deal with without worrying about what might happen if I came in contact with something morally ambiguous that had a will of its own. The door dropped shut behind me, and I crept down between the stacks to the table at the back of the room. The newest evidence came here, awaiting cataloging or the closing of a case. The evidence bag lay at the back of the table, the thick black thread coiled within. A tremor of power ruffled across my skin as soon as I reached out to pick up the bag. Why hadn't I felt it back at the crime scene? There hadn't been anything there, the absence of power the biggest clue that something freaky was going on. Of course, if I'd known just how freaky, I'd have tried harder. Maybe if I had, then Graham wouldn't be in the hospital fighting for his life. Guilt ate at me again, and I pushed it aside. It wasn't going to help right now. There would be plenty of time to wallow later, when this was all over and done with. Until then, I had a job to do. Popping open the bag, the air pulsed with energy, and I sucked in a deep breath. Wrapping a piece of the thread around my fingers, I pulled a strand of it free and quickly snapped it off. Jamming the rest of the thread back into the bag, I dropped it onto the table and turned towards the door. I froze. the blood in my veins turning to icy sludge as my gaze met Sonia's. Her arms were folded across her chest, her petite frame tense with unspent rage, her eyes focused on my hand and the thread dangling from my fingers. "I knew it," she said, the triumph in her eyes sending my heart spinning into my stomach. "Knew what?" I asked. My only choice was to claim innocence. There was nothing else I could do. Finding me stealing evidence was bad enough, but if she suspected what I wanted it for, then I was done for. "I've known from the second you started here that there was something off about you. You let Steve die, and now this? What are you going to do with the evidence? Are you using it to cover your tracks? Hide your incompetence? Because it won't work. I'm going to tell everyone what you really are." "And what might that be, Sonia?" I said, taking a small step towards her. I tightened my grip on the thread, balling it into my fist as I moved deliberately towards her. The demon mark itched, and it was a struggle not to scrub my hand across it. It would be so easy to shut her up. Permanently. She was nothing but a thorn in my side anyway, running around the place like she was the only one to ever lose someone. If she blew my cover, all those innocent people would die. The thoughts whirled in my head and the demon mark throbbed as I closed the gap between us. "You don't frighten me, Amber. I can take you. I always was better in the ring." My hand shot out, my fingers closing around her throat as I slammed her back into the door. Her eyes widened, and for the first time since I'd met her when I started working for the Elite, I actually saw the first glimmer of terror in her eyes. Shit, what the hell was I doing? I released her as suddenly as I'd grabbed her, my hand automatically going to the demon mark. There was definitely something wrong with me, something dangerous and dark lurking inside me, and I had no idea how to control it. First, the urge to rip the shifter apart, to glory in the spill of his hot blood across my hands. I'd known deep down inside that I could take him if I just gave in to the darkness I harbored within. I could have ripped his still-beating heart from his chest, and it wouldn't have cost me a second thought. And now this. God, what would I have done to her? "What are you?" Sonia was babbling, the fear in her voice dragging me back to the shitstorm I found myself in the middle of. "Your eyes, they glowed. You don't exist anymore. They wiped your kind out." Double shit. If she was putting the pieces of the puzzle together, then I really was screwed. Shoving the thread into my pocket, I did the only thing I could do. Placing my hands on either side of her face, I leaned in toward her. Sonia struggled in my grip, lashing out with her arms and legs as she fought to get out of my hold. "Forget," I said, my voice taking on a familiar hollow sound. Energy wound its way up through my body and out through my hands. Sonia went limp in my grip, but I could still see the fear reflected in her gaze. Her hatred for me was well and truly embedded inside her, wrapped up in her memories for Steve. How could I make her forget what she'd seen when her mind was in such turmoil? How could I be sure it would work without wiping everything clean? "Don't kill me," she whimpered, and the sound tore at my heart. "I won't, but I need you to forget. Forget everything you saw. Stop looking for ways to catch me out." "You killed Steve," she said, but her voice was a little distant and empty. "Forget," I said again, delicately plucking through her thoughts in an attempt to pick out everything connected to what she had seen. "Steve," she said, and I jerked my hands away from her face. There was such confusion in her voice, and that wasn't meant to happen. Sonia slid down the door, landing on the floor without so much as a sound. Crouching down next to her, I gazed into her blank stare. "Sonia?" My heart hammered in my chest as I spoke to her, but she stared past me as though I wasn't even there. Grabbing her shoulders, I shook her gently. Her head lolled back and forth on her neck, but her eyes cleared a little. "Amber, what are you doing?" Her voice was groggy, but she knew who I was, and my heart soared. "You had a fall," I said. It was a lie, but it was vastly better than the truth.
"I fell?"
There was doubt in her voice, but I ignored it. At least she wasn't back to accusing me of killing Steve.
"Why would I fall? If Steve finds out, he'll go mental. He's so afraid I'll hurt the baby."
The rest of her words were a blur to my ears. She didn't remember he was dead. I'd wiped his death out of her mind. How was that even possible? I hadn't touched anything I wasn't supposed to. As far as I knew, I'd only interfered with her memories of seeing me stealing evidence. She pushed up onto her feet, swaying gently, forcing me to keep a hold of her. What was I supposed to do? If she didn't remember, it was just a giant mess. And the longer I hung around, the greater the risk of getting caught.
"Why was I in here?"
she said, staring around at the stack of evidence crates. Shrugging, I grabbed the door and pulled it open, ushering her out into the corridor. Was I supposed to tell her that Steve was dead? How could I remind her of something like that? She needed to know the truth, but I couldn't break that kind of news to her. She already blamed me once. If I was the one who told her, the jolt to her memory would be too much. She'd probably remember everything, and then I'd be back to square one all over again.
"I guess you went in to get something. You've probably got baby brain."
I wasn't even sure what the hell baby brain was, but I'd heard of it, and I was going to use it. It was enough to draw a wide smile to her face once more.
"I know, I keep forgetting where I've left my keys. Secretly, I think Steve takes them just to play with me. He says our son is taking up all my brain space, and he's right."
I nodded and gave her a tight smile. This wasn't something I wanted to talk about. Steve was dead. Everything was beyond messed up.
"Sonia!"
A vaguely familiar voice called out from the opposite end of the corridor. She turned and grinned.
"Thanks, Amber, for not making it hard. If it had been one of the guys in there, I don't think I would have ever lived it down."
She moved away from me and I let her go, the truth stinging along the tip of my tongue. Rachel, one of the other elite officers and one of Sonia's closest friends, stood watching and waiting. I knew from the confused expression she wore that she hadn't expected to see Sonia hanging so amicably with me. She was probably also wondering why Sonia looked so damn happy. Without a backwards glance, I spun on my heel and raced for the main entrance. The scream split the air as I hit the front door, my hands sliding off the door handle and slamming into the glass as I pushed out onto the street. Another piercing scream, choked with sobs, and I let the door slam shut behind me, but the sound followed me. It wasn't something I could just shake off, and I wasn't convinced I deserved to just shake it off. Sonia's screams would follow me into my nightmares, and I deserved every second of it. Reaching the street, I paused next to Nick and tried to calm my racing heart.
"You get what you needed?"
he asked, eyeing me curiously.
"Yeah," I said. "Now let's get the hell out of here."
He didn't need to be asked twice, and he didn't ask for an explanation. All things I was beyond glad for. Chapter 29.
"So how does this work?"
Nick asked as he paced back and forth through my small living room. "I need a map of the city, and I can use the thread wrapped around a crystal to scry. It should give me a pretty accurate location of where this guy's hiding out." Pulling the city map free from underneath my pile of old magazines, I stared down at the different lines and circles I'd drawn across its surface. My experiments with scrying so far hadn't been particularly successful, but I was chalking it up to not having enough conviction. This time, I had a reason to scry, something I was genuinely seeking, and it made sense that I'd be able to find it, especially as I had something so connected to what I sought. Grabbing the clear quartz crystal from the table, I tugged the thread from my pocket and wrapped it around the sparkling quartz before letting them both hang down from the chain. It swung wildly over the map, but nothing happened. Closing my eyes, I imagined the quartz landing on the location I needed, but when I opened my eyes, there was still a big fat nothing. Sighing, I dropped back onto the floor and stared down at the map. Scrying was supposed to be one of the easiest things for a witch to master, and with my new power coursing in my veins, it should have been child's play. Instead, I was left frustrated and confused.
"It's not working," I said.
I'd risked everything to get the thread, and for what? It hadn't done me any good, and the longer I sat here with nothing to show, the longer Dex and Victoria were out there facing certain death. I wasn't particularly fond of Victoria, but I definitely didn't want her to die. Leave and return to New York, maybe, but death wasn't in the cards.
"Well, is there something else you need?"
Nick asked, crouching down next to me.
"I don't know, all of this," I said, gesturing to the map and the crystal. "It's all still so new. I don't know if I'm doing any of it right, and I'm pretty certain everything I touch turns to crap."
"That's not true,"
Nick said, kneeling next to me and cupping my face with his hands.
You can do this, Amber. You just need to let it happen, and it will. For God's sake, you summoned a demon to fight off your sister. This won't beat you.
His words washed over me, soothing the anger that bubbled within me. I was doing that an awful lot lately, getting angry for the sake of it without any real reason. Was it all part of the demon mark? Was it just one of the shitty side effects that I hadn't completely figured out yet? He was right, of course. I had summoned a demon to stall Lily, and if I could do that, then what was stopping me from figuring this out too? In the end, I was the only one standing in my own way. Grabbing the athame from my belt, I dragged it free and Nick released me.
Wow, what are you doing?
He asked, catching my hand before I could slice the blade across my palm. I need something to jumpstart the system and blood works for everything else. He let me go, his gaze skeptical.
Do you really need to slice yourself badly? Won't a little do the same job?
I shrugged, running the wickedly sharp edge of the blade over my hand. It burned, the pain tingling and stinging as my blood welled in the shallow wound. Clenching my fist, I held it over the map and the crystal, letting the crimson droplets run down, plopping onto the map with loud, wet sounds. It pooled around the crystal as though drawn to it, and I gratefully took the cloth Nick handed to me, wrapping it around my hand as I watched the crystal seemingly soak up the small puddle of red. The blood flowed around inside the crystal as though I'd poured it into water, swirling and dancing against its crystal cage.
Shit,
Nick muttered, a low whistle escaping him as he watched the crystal drink every last drop of my blood. Clearly, I'd been missing a pretty integral aspect of the scrying process, and the fact that I hadn't come across bloodletting as a facet of the process left me with a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. I'd always known the shadow sorcerers were powerful. It was one of the reasons they'd been hunted to extinction in the first place. But no one had ever suggested their power was anything other than morally ambiguous. It was just power, and as such could only be corrupt because of who wielded it. But bloodcraft was a serious magic, and not the light and airy kind my mother practiced. Was I dark? Was that even a possibility? It certainly wasn't something I'd really thought about before, but judging by what had happened with Sonya and all the rest, it was entirely possible. Picking the crystal up, I let it swing across the surface of the map, the weight drawing it back and forth, each swing becoming wider than the last until it started to spin on the end of the chain.
What are you doing to it?
Nick said, watching its movements with a mixture of wary surprise. Nothing, I just picked it up, I said, tightening my grip on the crystal as it swung wildly out of control. Closing my eyes, I imagined dropping it onto the map over the location I needed, but my mind was still filled with thoughts of my dark magic, Lily, and the creep who'd taken Dex and Victoria. There was a crack, like the sound of glass splitting, and the crystal stopped spinning. Opening my eyes, I stared down at the map as my blood poured out of the split crystal. It didn't just drip down onto the map and pool in the center the way I imagined it would. Instead, it ran in a thin, steady stream, splitting apart the second it hit the map and running in two different directions. I watched it move, one side coming to a halt over a place just outside the city, and the other.
What is that?
Nick asked, leaning a little closer to the map. The blood on the opposite side was pooling into the shape of what looked like a small skull over Crescent Hill Cemetery. The place where it was pooling started to smoke, a tiny hole appearing in the center as a small flicker of blue flame appeared. Lily, I said. I wasn't even sure why I said it or how I even knew it was her, but I was suddenly certain it was. The blood smoked like it was made of acid, the flickering blue flame moving faster, following the trail back across the map to where the crystal was still trickling a steady stream of blood. It jumped, and I released the chain as the flickering flame hit the crystal. There was a pop, and the crystal shattered, the pieces exploding outwards like a tiny, sharp bomb. Nick fell back on the floor, the pieces of crystal bouncing harmlessly around us.
I know she's supposed to be your half-sister, but we seriously need to do something about her,
he said, dusting some pieces of crystal from his hair. I didn't answer him. There was no point when I agreed with him. Leaning back over the table, I stared down at what was left of the map and the remaining puddle of blood. It sat proudly on the outskirts of the city,
directly over the spot where King City's oldest casino had burned down the year before, the blood already dried into the paper. "At least she didn't completely destroy the map," I said as I climbed to my feet. Lily was bad news, and I wanted to find her. I needed to find her, to stop her, whatever that meant. The last time I'd faced her, I'd barely gotten away with my life. She might have gone quiet, but I couldn't imagine her really giving up. She just wasn't the type. But for this time, at least, I couldn't go chasing after her, not with everything else at stake.
"How do you want to do this?"
Nick said, standing next to me. "Save who we can and kill everything else."
"Aren't you supposed to call it in or something?"
"Not this time. I played it that way the last time, and I'm not making that mistake again." Nick grinned.
"Good, because the Elite are a bunch of stuck-up assholes, always playing by the rules. No offense."
"None taken," I said, returning his smile with one of my own. "I was never a play-it-by-the-rules kind of girl."
"Good, because rules ain't my thing. They only get in the way. When I want something, I take it, no matter the cost."
There was something in his voice that told me we weren't talking about the Elite anymore. Nick's grin widened and he pulled his machete from beneath his leather jacket. How he managed to carry it there without cutting himself wide open was beyond me. If it had been me, I'd be bleeding from the minute I picked it up.
"When this is over and done with, I'll show you exactly what I mean."
His voice lowered and rumbled low in his chest, causing things low in my belly to tighten.
"I think I'd like that."
I regretted the words the minute they left my mouth. They weren't exactly the smooth reply I'd been going for, and I cringed inwardly when Nick raised an eyebrow at me, his wicked grin turning my insides to molten lava. "Focus, Amber. Think of the handsome man when everyone is safe." I swallowed back the rampant thoughts in my head and slipped my hand inside my own jacket, pulling the small bottle Hadou had given me free. Let's hope less is more. This is going to be less search and rescue and more kill everything that moves. Nick's grin instantly melted away, replaced with an expression I was coming to know as his serious and thoughtful gaze.
"It'll be enough,"
he said. Tightening my grip on the bottle, I replaced it safely inside my jacket and zipped the pocket shut. God, I hoped he was right. Chapter 30.
"How do we know this is it?"
Nick asked as he killed the engine on his motorcycle. "Technically we don't, but I'm almost positive it is. I mean, come on, he could hardly keep them locked up somewhere in the city itself. He needs space," I said, fighting free of the helmet. Climbing from the bike, I sat the helmet on the seat. I wasn't any more used to the motorcycle, but I had at least moved past the phase where my legs were complete jelly the second I stepped onto solid ground. Perhaps there was hope for me after all. My cell phone buzzed in my pocket and I lifted it free, staring down at the screen and the unfamiliar number that pulsed across the front. Stabbing the green button with my thumb, I lifted it to my ear. "Yeah?" I said, suspicion heavy in my voice.
"Amber."
His voice was hoarse, and there was a breathlessness that I wasn't used to hearing, but I'd have known his voice anywhere. "Graham, you're all right. When did you wake up?" My voice went up a notch, and I didn't care that I wasn't fit to keep my excitement contained. Nick shot me a surprised look, and then returned his attention back to cataloging the weapons he'd brought with him. From where I was standing, it looked like he'd stored an arsenal in different places on his bike, places I wouldn't even have contemplated looking.
"They extubated me an hour ago. I insisted on getting a phone call. This place is worse than prison. They didn't want me to stress out by calling you."
Each word sounded like a labor of love to just get out, but the fact that he was awake and capable of talking, it was nothing short of a miracle. "How can you be so alert? I came to see you a couple of hours ago. You were completely out of it then." There was silence on the other end of the line, and I felt my uneasiness crawling up the back of my throat. It wasn't possible. None of it was.
"Nothing gets past you, dear sister," Lily said, the disdain in her tone more than obvious. "You should be a detective or something."
"Where's Graham?" I said, grinding my words out from between my teeth.
"He's here, still out of it, as you so aptly described. Isn't it amazing just how fragile we are as humans? That one little slip up here with a piece of machinery, all I'd need to do is unplug one and boom, your precious little daddy replacement is dead.
If you touch him, I will kill you.
Touchy, touchy, sis. If I wanted him dead, I'd have done it already. But there is something I want you to do for me.
My grip on the phone became punishing, and I could feel the blood in my fingers draining away as I struggled not to crush it.
Why would I do anything for you?
Because we're family.
Her laughter tinkled down the line, and I cringed. We'll never be family, Lily. You and I both know it.
Yes, well, that's as may be, but I still want a favor.
I opened my mouth to speak again, but she cut me off before I could even get the words out.
Cut the goody-two-shoes crap, Amber. I want the blade Zek is using.
Zek, I repeated. The name sounded so familiar, but I just couldn't put my finger on why.
Yeah, Mr. Zek, he's a consultant. Travels from place to place, dealing with situations just like this one.
Lily herself trailed off, and another burst of giggles escaped her.
Oh, this is too good! Did the Elite bring Zek in to help out on the case?
My heart flipped in my chest and the bottom dropped out of my stomach. Zek was the consultant the Elite had used to clear the spirit out of Marcy Colton's body. The memory of him standing in the medical examiner's office, the look of sadness in his eyes, I'd honestly believed he was just highly empathetic about the victim. What an idiot I'd been. Lily, how do you know so much?
I'm keeping tabs on you, Amber. I'm not a fool. I know the power you've got, and I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. Summoning the demon wasn't playing nice.
It was my turn to laugh, and Nick shot me another curious glance. Why is it the bad guys always think it's unfair when the good guys turn the tables on them?
Is that what you are, Amber? Are you really sure about that?
I didn't answer her. There was no point. She knew the kind of power I had. She knew it better than I did. I'm not going to get you anything, Lily. You can go to hell. I could practically hear her shake her head on the other end of the line.
You don't know the full extent of your gift. I guess if you did, then Graham wouldn't be lying here so vulnerable. What if I said I could bring him back for you? Heal him? Would that change your mind?
Her words sent a frisson of excitement racing through me. It wasn't possible, was it? Well, anything really was possible. Just because I hadn't contemplated it or been too afraid to attempt it didn't really mean anything.
Bring me Zek's blade and I'll bring Graham around. Call this number when you have it and I'll tell you where to leave it.
And how do I know you'll keep your word?
You don't.
The line went dead and I stared down at the screen. What was I supposed to do? In my head, the answer seemed pretty obvious. I wanted Graham alive and well, but at what cost? And how could I even truly trust Lily to keep her word and not do more harm?
What was that about?
Nick asked, coming level with me. It was Lily. She wants me to do her a favor, I answered, holding the phone in my hand as I readjusted my weapons holster.
Your sister? What could she possibly have wanted?
She wants the blade Zek is using.
Who's Zek?
Nick said, and I remembered he hadn't been with me when I'd questioned Zek with Victoria. He's the guy doing all of this. Nick nodded and moved to pull his Beretta out. He works for the Elite, I said, and Nick froze mid-movement.
He what?
Yeah, he's the guy who comes in and cleans up the magical issues. Pretty much we're screwed. Nick took a second to think about it before shrugging.
I've had worse odds. Sometimes screwed isn't an unpleasant experience.
Nick, seriously, Zek is powerful. I have to call it in. We can't just go wandering in there and not let the Elite know that one of their own is corrupt. I dialed the main office number. As I spoke, the sound of the phone ringing was suddenly drowned out by the rattling of a cargo door slowly opening on the side of the casino.
Elite.
John's voice droned over the line, and I cut him off. It's Amber. We found the guy responsible. Bill Zek. We're... The phone hummed in my hand before it went completely dead, and I was left staring down at the blank screen, my own face reflected back up at me.
We've got a really big problem here,
Nick said, jerking my attention back to the casino and the shambling horde crossing the space towards us. There were so many of them, far more than I'd been expecting. The bottle of antidote Hadou had given me wasn't going to cut it. The horde moved at a relentless pace, closing the gap between us, and Nick raised his gun, his finger depressing the trigger. Silence. No explosive gunfire the way I'd expected. There was just a boatload of nothingness. Pulling my own Glock free, I aimed it at the nearest rotted person and pulled the trigger. The bullet jammed, the trigger making one pathetic click as I squeezed it over and over before finally admitting defeat. What was left of the dark-haired woman grabbed me, her flesh sliding away from the bones in her fingers, her nails snapping off as she struggled to get a grip on me. In her eyes, I could see fear, and it rolled my stomach. Christ, she was aware. She knew what was happening to her, the same way the others had, but at least in their eyes, I'd just seen the blank stare of whatever spirit had possessed them. Fuck, the guns aren't working, Nick roared, using the butt of his gun to fend off the nearest person clawing at him. The dark-haired woman clawed at my face, her face twisting as she mouthed, "Help me," into my face. There was nothing I could do for her. Her body was way too far gone, and I knew what would happen to her the second I crushed the invading spirit within her. I did the only thing I could do, grabbing her neck and head with both hands and simultaneously shoving my power into her rotted remains. The spirit twisted in the grip of my power, fighting back as I crushed it. I jerked my arms, wrenching her neck to the side as bile crept up my throat. The human horror disappeared from her gaze the second I did it, and the spirit screamed in frustration. At least she wouldn't feel the next part. My power wound its way around the spirit inside and crushed it completely, the body going limp in my grip. I let it drop to the ground, trying not to focus on the fact that it was already beginning to swell. Glancing in Nick's direction, I watched him hack through two shambling corpses that attacked him, his machete blade slicing through their swollen bodies easily. "We need to get inside! We need to find Zek!" I said, shouting to Nick over the sound of shuffling feet. He nodded, his expression grim as he moved towards me. I didn't wait for him, and spotting the break in the horde, I raced forward, crashing through the front door of the casino as another body careened into mine from behind. His weight rode me to the floor, and air rushed out of my lungs as he crushed me against the scorched carpeting. Rolling to the side, I knocked him from my back and hopped to my feet before he had the chance to come at me for a second time. "Dex," I said. The second I saw him, his eyes were gray and unfocused, the skin on his face slack and sagging, but from what I could see, there didn't seem to be any visible signs of rot. He didn't react to his own name, instead lunging towards me, his movements clumsy and uncoordinated. Whatever Zek had summoned didn't have the best command of the human body, and part of me couldn't help but wonder why. "Dex, no!" I said, sidestepping his wild grab for me. How the hell was I supposed to get him to hold still long enough for me to give him the antidote? Pulling the bottle free of my jacket, I lunged at him. If I couldn't reason with him, then I had no choice but to use force against him. Crashing into his chest, it was my turn to ride him to the carpet. He wrapped his arms around my chest and squeezed, making each breath harder and harder to take. Tugging the cork from the bottle, I leaned forward and jammed the top of it into his mouth, the blue liquid splashing against his lips. He drank greedily, and his grip on my chest disappeared as he attempted to grab the bottle from my fingers. I whipped it away, sliding the cork back into place as Dex growled at me. Rolling away out of his reach, I climbed to my feet and watched him. He flipped over and crawled towards me, his spine bowing upwards as the blue liquid began to work.
"Amber, look out!"
Nick shouted, his words drowned out by the sound of Dex's scream of agony. I moved, but I was far too slow, my attention caught up in Dex's movements as he bucked and heaved on the floor. Pain burned through my side, and I screamed, the sound ripping from my throat. Agony roared in my body, every nerve ending on fire as the blade bit deeper in through my back. It was a pain I recognized from when I'd walked the scene back at the River Gardens. Agony like this wasn't something you could wipe from your memory so easily. I took a shuddering step forward, but a firm hand on my shoulder halted me from moving off the blade.
"Don't stop looking now, dear. You'll miss the show," Zek whispered against my ear,
and a wave of nausea rolled through me. Dex coughed and choked, his body heaving as he started to retch, his fingers digging into the burned carpet. The gray smoke that I'd watched pour down his throat spluttered out through his mouth and into the air. He choked and retched, forcing it out until it pooled around him. Zek whistled low, and the gray smoke whipped up towards us. I closed my eyes, sealing my lips shut, but Zek twisted the blade in my side, and I screamed again. The sound was instantly silenced, and I felt the spirit force its way down my throat. Struggling to suck in a breath, I jerked and spluttered until the sound of static filled my ears. The pain I'd felt seemed very far away, like the constant dull ache of a tooth on the verge of catastrophe. Nick stormed towards me, but it wasn't me he wrapped his arms around. My body wasn't my own. The spirit inside me probed at the power coiled in my core, but there was no response. My power was my own, and there was nothing on this earth that could control it but me. Heat spread across my chest, and my body twitched. I was only vaguely aware of the movement. Being so detached made it all the more difficult to have any real thoughts. Everything seemed to just run on instinct. The heat turned to a fiery rage that flooded my veins, and Nick's grip on me faltered. I wanted to cry out to him, to ask him what was going on, but my mouth refused to cooperate. The demon mark flared to life, and I wasn't just instinct anymore. I was pain and fury and everything in between. The spirit twisted and fought against the mark, but the demon-infused gift had been with me longer. It had become a part of me, and it wasn't willing to let me go. The world went black, my vision fading as my lungs ceased to expand and my heart slowed to a crawl. At least if I died, it would be knowing the feel of my own body. Chapter 31. Air rushed in my lungs. Pain and the overwhelming urge to eat the biggest burger I could get my hands on.
Breathe, goddammit!
Nick's voice filtered down to me and my heart sank. Was I still possessed? Was that why it sounded as though I was buried at the bottom of a well? Fighting my way to the surface, I surged upwards. Every inch of my body felt as though it had been well and truly abused and beaten. And maybe in a way it had. Pressing my hand to my side, my fingers came away warm and sticky. That bit hadn't been a part of my imagination. "Where is he?" I said, struggling to sit up against Nick's arms.
"He ran when you went demonic."
There was no hint of laughter or sarcasm in Nick's voice, and I waited for him to smile, but it never came. "What do you mean when I went demonic?"
"I mean full-on black eyes, deep voice, the full exorcist. For a second, I thought maybe I was gonna have to..."
Nick trailed off and dipped his gaze toward the floor.
"You'd have done what needed to be done," I finished for him as I crawled onto my hands and knees and then pushed up from the floor.
"We need to get him. There's no way he can be allowed to get away with what he's done. And anyway, there's still all of that to deal with," I said, gesturing to the horde that was now wandering around outside the locked door. Sirens split the air, and I spotted the telltale black elite vans as they pulled up outside the casino. Trust John to trace my call. Stumbling forward, I paused next to Dex, who was sprawled across the floor, unmoving.
"He's still alive, just utterly out for the count,"
Nick offered, as though he knew what I was thinking. "We still need to find Victoria." I didn't wait for my answer. Instead, I moved forward, the wound in my side burning like a son of a bitch with each step I took. Pushing through the double doors that led into the main casino floor, I paused. Victoria lay on the stage near the front of the room, and Zek stood over her. From my position, I couldn't tell if she was alive or not. All I knew for sure was that she wasn't moving. "Freeze!" I said as Zek lifted his blade into the air. The tip of it glistened red in the fluorescent lights overhead. He didn't look at me, bringing the knife down towards Victoria, his arm moving in a blurred arc. Without thinking, I raised my own arm, power flooding the room like warm water. It crackled along the edges of my skin, and I could just make it out as it danced along the tips of my fingers. Calling my power had never been this easy before. Something had clearly changed, but I had no idea what it was, and considering it was now my power holding Zek's arm suspended above his head and preventing it from plunging the blade into Victoria's chest, I wasn't going to question the change too closely.
"You should be dead,"
Zek called over his shoulder. "Yeah, well, I don't die that easy," I answered, using the time I'd bought to close the distance between me and the stage. Zek strained against my magic, pushing and pressing as though testing my limitations. I could feel him brush it against it, much the same way a cat could wind its way around my legs, all soft fur and warm purrs. It was a front. Whatever power Zek possessed wasn't soft and gentle, I was certain of that. I'd felt it when he'd plunged the blade into me. Maybe it wasn't Zek at all. Was it possible that the power all came from the blade? I wouldn't know until I got closer, but there had to be a reason Lily wanted it. Reaching the edge of the stage, I tried to split my concentration between Zek and Victoria. She lay on her back, her eyes shut, with thick black thread crisscrossing her lips and eyes. Hopping up onto the stage, my gaze darted up to Zek and he smiled at me, a cruel, twisted grin that told me just how much he was truly enjoying the situation. "What have you done?" I said, reaching down and placing my hand on Victoria's neck. Her pulse beat a tattoo against her delicate skin, or at least I hoped it was her heartbeat and not something incubating inside her.
"She's the perfect gateway, immortal and strong."
Zek's words made no sense, and I took a small thread of my power and pushed it into Victoria. There was nothing but a black, sucking void, and I planted my hands on the stage, as though physically anchoring myself to the spot could stop me from falling headlong into whatever dwelled inside her. A sound of ripping fabric filled the air, and I gathered my power back around myself as Zek's arm dropped to his side, the blade dropping from his grip. That was the problem with being human and losing circulation. Victoria's eyes opened, the stitches tearing away, but what looked up at me wasn't human. The eyes were black and glassy. She blinked up at me, and I expected to see nothing but the blank stare of one of the possessed staring back at me. Instead, I was met with recognition.
"No, no, no, you can't do this. It's not how it works," Zek said, backing up across the stage as Victoria pushed up onto her feet.
She moved with a grace I hadn't noticed before, her joints rolling as though held together with pure magic. She shivered, a complete rolling of her skin, and her black hair shimmered down her back in a long wave. I watched her skin turn blue before it ran with purple lines that reminded me of a tattoo of vines. She glanced over her shoulder, and her eyes were still completely black, not a hint of white, just a bleak darkness that seemed to extend all the way down into my very soul. Her black hair flowed around her as though it had a life of its own, and she stalked toward Zek, each step deliberate, the movements of a predator. "Wait," I said, calling out to her, whatever she was, because I was completely lost.
"Wait."
She rolled the word around her tongue as though it was a foreign concept.
"We need to bring him in alive. We need to know what he was up to, how many others there are."
Victoria seemed to weigh my words and then shook her head. I caught myself staring at the mass of hair that shimmered across her shoulders and back. Dragging myself back from the edge, I blinked hard. The sound of Zek choking made it easier for me to snap free of the glamour she'd used to distract me. Whipping out with my power, I let it slap into her, but she barely even registered the hit, the full extent of her intention focused on Zek as she lifted him into the air as though he was nothing more than an inconvenience.
"You can't kill him," I repeated.
"I can and I will. If I don't, he will expose us both, and that is something neither of us can tolerate, Amber."
Her voice was strange, deeper, huskier, and it raised goosebumps across my arms.
"We can't do it for selfish reasons."
She glanced at me from over her shoulder. Staring into her eyes, I saw a combination of pure innocence and utter evil. Neither good nor truly bad, she had the kind of eyes you could fall into and go completely insane within. It was her eyes that reminded me of the gray-colored spirits, neither good nor evil, a perfect balance of the two. The sound of Zek's neck as it snapped brought the world rushing back in a punishing wave. Victoria let his body drop to the stage before turning to face me once more. She shuddered, her skin shifting back in a wave. The black, bottomless eyes, the last thing to disappear.
"What have you done?" I said,
racing across the stage to where Zek lay dead.
I killed him. He needed to die, Amber.
That wasn't your choice to make. That's not what we do.
It is when the choice is between your certain death or survival. Look at all the lives he ended. Can you honestly say the world won't be a better place without him? She was right. The world was far better off without him, but that didn't mean I had to like it.
What are you? What were those things?
Changeling. He was using the spirits of the Fae who had crossed over, trapping them in limbo and twisting them so they became the destructive possessing force.
But why?
The sound of shouting in the hall cut me short. Amber, I'll keep your secret if you keep mine. No one can know what I am. I stared down at Zek's broken body. He was the reason Graham was on life support.
Fine, but you owe me an explanation.
Victoria nodded as the main door into the casino burst open and Anthony strode in, the wide grin on his face telling me that the threat outside was no more.
Cavalry's here, ladies, no need to panic.
Victoria shot him a withering look and hurried down from the stage, leaving me to explain everything that had happened. Crouching down next to Zek, I scooped up the blade and hid it in my weapons belt along with my athame. What the elite didn't know couldn't hurt them, and I needed time to contemplate Lily's offer.
What happened to this guy? Did you and the newbie combine your awesome girl power to kick his ass?
Anthony asked as he climbed up onto the stage.
Trust me when I say you really don't want to know, I said, exhaustion washing through me, my shoulders drooping as I picked my way over to the edge of the stage.
Hey, don't go too far. Gonna need statements from everyone present.
I didn't answer him. I already knew the drill. It would be hours before I could escape, go home, and lick my wounds in the quiet of my own apartment. Stalking away from the stage, I tried to control my thoughts and everything I'd learned. The time to digest would come later. For now, I would have to console myself with the knowledge that my secret was still mine to keep. For now, at least.
Chapter 32.
Sitting on the side of the road, I watched the elite mill around. The forensic team had already arrived, and I'd spotted Callum heading into the casino. Part of me wanted to see his reaction when he realized it was Zek, but I was too tired to bother moving. My cell phone buzzed, and I tugged it free. Graham's number flashed across the screen. Scrambling with the phone, I nearly hung up before I could get it to work properly. Graham?
Amber, what have you done?
He was hoarse, but it was him. The censure in his voice wasn't something Lily could master.
Nothing yet, I said.
She was here babbling about some blade. She wants it. It's the only reason I'm awake. The doctors are all hailing it a miracle.
I laughed, the sound bubbling up from the back of my throat, causing my shoulders to relax. He was alive. She'd kept her word. Of course, that meant I'd have to keep mine. And the voice in the back of my head told me that would be one giant mistake.
Graham, you have no idea how close you came. It's a miracle.
My voice cracked, and the sound of Graham sighing filtered down the line.
We can discuss it another time. I just wanted you to be the first to know I was awake.
And you don't know how glad I am.
So this is where you're hiding out.
Nick's voice cut through my conversation, and I stared up at him as he towered over me.
I've gotta go, Graham, but as soon as I've washed the crime scene off me, I'll come in to see you.
Right. You take care, Morgan. And don't do anything until we've discussed it.
The line went dead. Utterly typical of Graham. Having a near-death experience hadn't changed his inability to end a call with goodbye.
Graham's awake, and I'm just waiting to get a lift back to the city, I said, turning to face Nick.
That's great, but why aren't they taking you to the hospital?
He said, dropping down next to me, concern etched into his face.
Nah, it's just a flesh wound.
Amber, did you show it to anyone? It didn't look like a flesh wound earlier. It looked a hell of a lot more serious than that.
He tugged at the edge of my shirt, dragging it up to reveal the ragged-edged cut that was rapidly healing. It seemed the bone blade Zek had cut me with was more than just a weapon. Wincing, I dragged my shirt back down, covering the mark up.
I really don't want to go to hospital. It'll be fine, I promise.
You know you're a fool, right?
He said, anger coloring his words.
Really? I'm the fool?
Yeah, and we both know it. A little common sense would tell you to get it seen to. Who are you trying to prove how tough you are to? Because whoever it is doesn't deserve it.
Pushing up onto my feet, I bit back my whimper of pain as I started back towards the cars. Nick's hand wrapped around my wrist, jerking me back around to face him.
You're one of the most infuriating women I've ever met. Why won't you listen to anything I'm saying? Why is everything some major suicide mission?
Don't be ridiculous, I started to say, but Nick dragged me in against his body, his lips crashing down on mine as his kiss took me by surprise. My body responded to his unbidden, my arms lifting to twine around his neck as he traced his tongue along my bottom lip before he sucked it in between his teeth. This time, I didn't bother to keep my whimper to myself. I moaned and deepened the kiss, crushing my body against his rock-solid chest. I broke the kiss first, my mind whirling into action, throwing out every possibility and way this could end in tears. He stared down into my face, his eyes heavy with lust as he searched my face.
I care about you, Amber.
Jerking out of his grip, I raced across the dry road and signaled to Anthony, who was packing up one of the elite trucks. You heading back into the city? I asked.
Sure, need a ride?
Anthony asked, tossing the last gear bag into the back. I didn't answer him, choosing instead to simply climb into the truck and slam the door behind me. Anthony climbed in next to me, some of the other members of the cleanup crew jostling around in the back, their gentle teasing of each other making it easier to take my mind off what had just happened. This kiss hadn't been like the one in Sanctuary.
Drop you at your apartment?
Anthony asked. I nodded and stared out the window, purposefully staring in the opposite direction of where I'd stood with Nick. I didn't want to witness his anger. I needed time to think, and I wouldn't be able to do that if I couldn't get the thought of his lips against mine out of my head.
This do ya?
Anthony asked, pulling the truck to a halt at the bottom of my street. I nodded and pushed open the door, climbing down without a backwards glance. The ride back into the city had been blissfully silent. I slammed the door and started the walk back up the street. Night had closed in, and the streetlights flickered on and off as I picked up my pace. A sense of unease rolled down my spine, and I paused as someone stepped out of the darkness up ahead.
Elite bitch, you need to be taught a lesson. You don't just kill one of our pack and walk away scot-free.
The voice melted out of the darkness, gruff with the promise of violence. He went rogue, you know the law. I took a step forward, but something slammed into the back of my shoulders, sending me sprawling to the ground. Laughter followed, lots of different voices, and the first real tendrils of terror spread up through my core. There were a lot of them. A few I could take, but not this many. Crawling forward, I searched my surroundings for a heavy weapon I could use, but there was nothing. My Glock was gone, taken as evidence after Anthony and the rest of the cleanup had arrived. We don't need to do this, I said, biting down on my tongue as someone wrapped their hands into my hair, jerking my head back.
Yes, we do.
The first voice spoke again, and the first kick landed in my side. Claws ripped at me. Kicks and punches rained down on my head. They moved fast, their blows coming so hard and fast that I didn't even have the chance to call on my magic. Instead, anger and rage spread through me as I struggled to get away. I wasn't a victim. I wasn't helpless, but I was outnumbered, and they were shifters, their strength and speed far beyond that of a normal human's. Darkness rolled through me. Fire burned in my veins, and my demon mark stirred, spreading through my limbs as my vision went black, and I was lost to the blissful ignorance of unconsciousness. Chapter 33.
Amber!
A familiar voice called to me, pulling me out of the darkness. I opened my eyes, but there was something wet and sticky in my lashes, making it hard to blink.
Amber, what happened?
Nick said, panic bringing back my memories in a cold rush of reality.
They jumped me, I said, my voice hoarse and alien to my ears as I blinked and tried to focus on my surroundings.
Everything was red. The sidewalk I was kneeling on was bathed in what looked like red paint. Glancing down at my hands, I realized the paint extended up my arms as far as my elbows.
Amber, what happened after that? Who did this?
Did what? I said,
my brain refusing to make sense of the scene in front of me. It wasn't paint. The realization washed over me and stole my breath. None of it was paint. It was blood, and I was bathed in it. The urge to rip them all limb from limb washed through me, and I scrambled backwards on the pavement. I'd done it all. Nick, it was me. I did this. My brain continued to refuse to put together the pieces lying around me, and that's all they were, pieces. I'd done exactly as I'd thought and ripped them all limb from limb. But how? How was this even possible? My body ached, and I could only imagine what a lumpy, bruised mess I was. So how had I managed to get the upper hand and do so much destruction? Grabbing the edge of my shirt, I pulled it open and stared down at the place where the demon mark sat. It, like the rest of me, was soaked in blood, but that wasn't what bothered me. The black veins extending down and across toward my heart were far more worrisome. Nick, what's happening to me? He shook his head and crouched down next to me.
I don't know, but we'll figure this out. We'll figure it out together. I promise I won't let you slip away, Amber, no matter what.
His declaration gave me hope, or at least I wanted to believe him, but as he wrapped his arms around me and pulled me close, I couldn't help but look around at the carnage surrounding us. As much as I wanted to believe it, this wasn't something you could just forget. And it wasn't something you could just clean up and pretend never happened. No matter what happened now, things were irrevocably changed and there was no going back. My only hope of getting out of it all with my soul still intact was to hope and pray I could get rid of the demon mark. If not, then it would be only a matter of time before I went completely dark side, and once that happened, there would be no redemption and no happy ending. Tears started down my cheeks as I stared at the broken bodies on the sidewalk. Could there even be a happy ending for someone like me? And if there was, at what cost would it come? And would I be willing to pay it?
This has been Bloodcraft, The Shadow Sorceress, Book 2. Written by Belinda Sheehan. Narrated by Angela Daw. Copyright 2016 by Belinda Sheehan. Production copyright 2016 by Belinda Sheehan. Audible.